Torba that is unique to the Kohen bundle and to every Kohen, really. We'll begin. Thank you. Thank you for the road. And every Kohen, really, who begins his avoda, right, the Torah tells us that you know, Cheney here in the parsha, "Vaydabar Hashem Moshe Lemor, Zeh Korban Aaron uBanav." This is the korban of Aaron and his children, Asher Yakrivu LaHashem, which they bring as an offering. Biyom Hi Mashach Oso, on the day of his Mashicha. Very difficult psukim that we'll discuss in just a second. I'm just going to speak very briefly. And the Torah then finishes, the pasuk finishes, Asiris Ha'efa, Solas Mincha Tamid, Machtzisa Ba'Boker, U'Machtzisa Ba'arev, Al Machvas B'Shemen, Te'asem Merbeches, Te'Vienna, Tufinei Minchas Pitim, Takriv Reach Nichoach La'Hashem, V'Koin HaMashiach Tachtav Mibanav Yaseh Osach Kolam Bashem Kalil Taktar V'Kol Minchas Kohen Kalil Tia Lo Seyaka. So this, you know, when they asked me to speak to the you know, Kahuna Club or the Kohen Club, what's that?
Vikidashto.
So the Vikidashto Club, is that what it's called? I think I suggested we call it Vikidashto. I have a lot of, as you can see, I have a tremendous amount of good ideas for the club. I'm very excited about it. I saw it was Parsha Sab. I thought it would be, you know, criminal not to speak about the Korban. I didn't know Josh was going to be here, and he's an old Menachos man. I think we discussed it last year in Menachos, but because it's sugya the beginning of Menachos, and then later on in the Nuns in Menachos again. But either way, it's a very important makor for discussing the relationship of the Kohen Gadol and the Kohen Hedjot. I don't think I'm going to discuss that part of it. But again, we have only a few minutes, so I'm going to start with the Kohen Gadol. This is, of course, the psukim that define the special korban that the Kohen Gadol brought every single day, called the Minchas Chavitin. But it's very fascinating that it's also the psukim, the very same psukim, discuss the korban that was brought on the day that every Kohen Hedjot began to serve as a Kohen Hedjot in the, you know, in the Mikdash, or in the Mishkan, as the case may be. And the psukim themselves, for that reason, are written in an intentionally ambiguous way. You know, whenever the Torah, you know, writes ambiguously, obviously it does so, you know, for a purpose. It's unlikely, you know, that dafka, they're just saving, you know, a couple of you know, words, the ink and the parchment. Torah could have written more ambiguous things, and you know, obviously there are other ways to save. So when the Torah chooses to formulate something in a way that, you know, we wouldn't anticipate, you know, it's Einze Omer Ella Darsheni. So I think there are several things about these psukim. So the first thing is that itself, meaning the ambiguity. The words, biyom hi mashach oso, you know, could be understood in two different ways. You know, one is that this relates to the minchas chinuch, the first time a kohen hedjot is oved b'mikdash. This is the korban that he brings. And again, later on, v'kohen ha-mashiach tachtav mibanav yaseh oso kokolam la'ashem kalil taktar. Again, the mashiach tachtav may refer to the new Kohen, the fledgling Kohen, less likely, but certainly that. But Chazal understand that, you know, the same words are intended to convey not the korban that the Kohen Hedjot brings the first time and the only time in his life, but the Kohen that defines the avoda every single day, aside from Yom Kippur, for the Kohen Gadol in the Mikdash. Basically, there are two, you know, obligations that the Kohen Gadol has in terms of avoda in the Mikdash. One, of course, the one that's, you know, most well known is the avoda on Yom Kippur, or as the Rambam puts it several times, biyom hatzom, you know, the what the Torah calls achas pashana, the thing that happens only once a year. The Torah says that phrase three different times about Yom Kippur, as if to accentuate, well, this is a totally singular day. It only happens, not just it only happens once a year, it's a once year, you know, phenomenon. So the once year phenomenon is defined, I like to call it the day of the Kohen Gadol, because the Kohen Gadol, you know, presides over everything on Yom Kippur, not just, you know, the unique Karbanos Hayom, you know, where he's, you know, wearing the big day laban, that he's Nicholas Lefnai Belefnim, you know, that he should be wearing those. Are you a Kohen?
Yes. Yes.
Are you?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're welcome. Are you really?
Yeah.
Okay. So, the not just, you know, the big day laban, which, you know, obviously should be, you know, the obligation of the Kohen Gadol, but also the karbanos that are brought every single day, the tmidim, you know, of course, in between the misafim. The Rambam's chiddush is that when Yom Kippur falls out on a Shabbos, even the Musafei Shabbos require the Yom Kippurim, on Yom Kippurim require the Kohen Gadol. So Achas Bashana, on, you know, the most unique day of the year, that's a day where the Kohen Gadol does practically everything. The debate, you know, well, there are certain things that he could not do, but mostly, we'll follow the position of the Rambam, mostly he does everything. And then, every single day, not Achas Bashana, but every single day, the exact parallel opposite, the other obligation of the Kohen Gadol is to bring the Korban, the Minchas Chavit. And that he does twice a day. So it's very an interesting phenomenon that these are the two obligations that he has. If you look carefully at the Psukim, several things really stand out. The first is that if you read the Trup, so Zeh Korban Aron Ubanav, you know, is separated a little bit from, you know, Asher Yakrivu LaHashem. And then, even more so, it doesn't say Zek Korban Aron Ubanav Biyomi Mashako So Asher Yakrivu LaHashem. So the effect is, basically, that the Torah is stating that this is the Korban of Aaron and his children. Meaning, it's not just a Korban that Aaron, you know, according to, you know, one system, and his Banav in another system, happened to bring in the ambiguous Biyomi Mashach Oso, but rather this is like the Torah is telling us, Zek Korban Aaron Ubanav, if you want to know the quintessential Korban of Aaron Ubanav, it's this Korban. And then the details, you know, come after. So what makes this the quintessential, you know, Korban of Aaron Ubanav? Then you have the ambiguity, and of course the ambiguity is, you know, heightened by the fact that it's so, again, such a contrast. You have this Korban that a Kohen Hedjot brings once in his lifetime, you know, and it's the Korban that the Kohen Gadol brings, you know, in two parts, you know, every single day. In addition to that, the Torah tells us that this Korban is Kalil Toktar, that it is completely consumed, that there is no Kmitza and then, you know, Shiare Menachos, which is Nechal. Instead, everything is Kalil Lagamri. And then after establishing that, then the Torah says, V'chol Minchas Kohen Kalil Tiyeh Lo Se'achel. Now again, you know, if they had said the words, Kol Minchas Kohen Kalil Tiyeh Lo Se'achel first, then it would have been clear, and it would have been necessary to establish that the Minchas Chavitim / Minchas Chinuch is Kalil Taktar. But the effect of the Torah presenting it in this way is as if to say the paradigm of, you know, this is the Korban of Aaron Ubanav, this is the quintessential Kohen Korban, and it requires Kalil Taktar. And consequently, even when a Kohen brings a regular Korban, not a particular Kohen Korban, even then, any Korban that the Kohen brings is Taktar. But the paradigm or the precedent for that is, it comes from, in some respect, I don't mean, you know, I mean ontologically, not in time. I mean, it's always been this way, but the Torah's presentation seems to establish that because the quintessential Kohen Korban has to be Taktar, that defines, you know, Kahuna, in a way that extends even to a Kohen bringing a regular Korban. One other point, just very quickly, and then we'll get to the main idea, And that is that the Torah here, by he's calling it Mincha Tamid, you know, obviously connects us in our mind with the Korban Tamid in Parshas Pinchas. And yet, if you look carefully, you know, the formula, and what we'll say, it's connected to the Korban Tamid. It's a Korban that's brought every single day. And moreover, like the Korban Tamid, part of it is brought in the morning, and part of it is brought Bein Arvayim, Maksisa Bavoker, Maksisa Ba'arev. However, if you then turn to Parshas Pinchas, Perek Chafches, and you look at the way the Torah establishes the principle of the Tamid, so Vaydabar Hashem Moshe Lemor, Tzavos B'Tzavos B'nei Yisrael, Marta Aleihem Es Korbani Lachmi LeYishai, Reach Nichochi, Tishmeru Lahakriv Li B'Moado, Here the Torah says, Shnayim Layom Ola Tamid. So the Tamid is described as two karbanos, at least initially, Shnayim Layom Ola Tamid, and then explicated as a keves echad taseba boker, one keves is brought in the morning, ace keves a keves hasheni taseb bein hor boyim. So unlike the Chavitin, which is also called a Tamid, and is intended, obviously, to draw our attention to the real Tamid, right? That's Machsisa Baboker, Machsisa Ba'erev. The timing is very similar, but this is a Machsis and a Machsis. The Korban Tamid, you know, it's not as clear. Is it one Korban? Is it two Korbanos? Certainly the Chepsas that are brought are independent of each other. It's also described as two. It also implies that the two are one, but either way, it's Shnayim Layom Ala Tamid, and it's Keves Echad Taseh Baboker, the Esa Keves Hasheni Taseh Bein Arbayim, much more of a independent formulation than simply saying Maktisa Baboker, Maktisa Ba'erev, which makes it seem like it's a single korban that is brought in halves. The Sefer HaChinuch, when he talks about the korban, Minchas Chavitin, makes the ha'ara that the Ramban in Sefer Mitzvos famously, when he encounters some of these mitzvos that are twice a day, the Ramban's view is to count them twice, meaning Kriyat Shema, the Ketores, the Tamid. According to the Ramban, these are counted twice. The Rambam counts them once. However, says the Chinuch, it's very interesting to note that the Minchas Chavitin, the Ramban counted as one. He didn't count it two separate mitzvahs. Undoubtedly, he was impressed by the language of the Pesukim. The Gemara, discusses in the beginning of Menachos, I referred to that before, the question of whether you can be Mekadesh, the Korban, Minchas Chavitin, in halves, or you have to be Mekadesh the whole thing. On the one hand, it's Karev, Machtisa Baboker, Machtisa Ba'arev, or Ba'arev. On the other hand, the Torah calls it a Korban of Asiris Ha'efa Soles Mincha. So the Torah speaks of it in its totality, as well as in its halves. And that's why the Gemara has a whole discussion, about the possibility of being, Mekadesh, this Mincha in halves. There is a separate Chatzi Isaron measurement, which was used specifically for the Kohen Gadol's Korban, for this exact Korban. It's interesting to note that the Minchas Chinuch, brought by the Kohen Hedjot on the first day of his service, that is brought not Machtzisa Baboker, Machtzisa Ba'erev, that is a full Isaron that is brought together. It's also interesting to note that if the Kohen Gadol, if the first day that he does any avoda ever, right, that would be quite a leap, right? From Sandlot, right to the World Series, right? The first day that he is going to be Oved the avoda, right, is also the first day that, since he was appointed Kohen Gadol, right, conceivably that could happen. So he would bring three different karbanos. He'd bring the Minchas Chinuch for being a Kohen Hedjot. He'd bring another Minchas Chinuch for the first time that he serves as Kohen Gadol, and he would bring the Minchas Chavitim in halves as part of his daily obligation for Minchas Kiddush. Okay. So there is, like, you know, very interesting overlap, you know, between these ideas. So what's going on with this very unusual korban, the mixed signals, the ambiguity of integrating Minchas Kiddush and Minchas Chavitin, even though one is a fully sour and the other is half, the evoking of the Tamid, but the difference, you know, in, you know, the splitting up, just one more second, of everything. I'll take your question, just 2 more minutes. The Ramban's obviously subtle distinction, but important distinction in terms of minyan and mitzvos. And how is this all connected to, you know, the fact that it is Khalil Taktar, etc.? Before I answer your question, I'm just going to add one other makar, and then we'll try to zero in on, you know, on the end of this. The Rambam in Hilchos Maaser Karbanos, in Perek Yud Gimel, first of all, it's interesting to note that of all the Menachos, this is not according to the Seder of Mishnayos, the Rambam deals first with the Minchas Chavitin. Right? Mitzvah Seli Lasos, the Perek Yud Gimel is a transition in Hilchos Maaser Karbanos. Mitzvah Seli Lasos called Minchah Kemitzvasa, what we're about Torah. The Ketzad Asiyas Chavite Kohen Gadol, which is also just interesting from another point of view. The first mincha that the Rambam wants to deal with is Minchas Chavitin. For him, I think, this is like, you know, it's the korban of the Kohen Gadol, it's the korban of the Kohen, Zek korban, Aaron Abanav, so, you know, Vikidashto, you know, Vikidashto club, right? That's what you speak about Rishon. You know, we're speaking about korbanos, the, you know, the means, you know, the shluchei drachmana, the shluchei didal, are the kohanim. So I think it's a very significant korban. It's the korban of those who are the vehicles for korbanos. And it's not just a coincidence or an additional korban. It's their korban. Maybe, as I said before, that's the makar for the kalil in all other korbanos. So the Rambam begins with that. And he doesn't even like formulate it. It's a little bit, I've made the same diuk in the past. If you look at the psukim in the beginning of Parshas Vayikra, you know, when they introduce korbanos, so there's a pasuk that's missing. I don't mean literally it's missing, that would be a problem. I mean, in our anticipation, meaning the first time that the Torah speaks about, it says, in, you know, if you bring korbanos, so you expect, say, well, there are different categories of korbanos. There's ola, there's katas, there's shlamim, you know, and so on and so forth, the nachos, right? Instead, the Torah just says, imola korbano, mina bakar, as if it's like a davar pashut, that the korban that we're going to speak about is the ola. So, like, we're missing, instead of saying, let's talk about ola, or the first korban we'll speak about is ola, if the ola is a bakar, if the ola is a tzon, and so on. Instead, the Torah says, if the ola, we're going to speak about korbanos, these are Torah's korbanos, if the ola is a bakar, what do you mean, if the ola? The answer is, because the ola is like the default, you know, foundational korban for the tamid, it's kulo lashem, etc. So I think that, you know, what else is kulo lashem and is a foundational mincha? The answer is the minchas chavitim / minchas chinuch, also kulo lashem, right? And also, it's like the ola of menachos, and that's why the Rambam chose to begin with it. And the language is very similar. Mitzvah sase la'asos ko mincha kemitzvasa. The ketzad asiyas chavite kohen gadol. Right? First say, the first korban that we're going to speak about is the minchas chavite. It's almost like so obvious that you just plunge right in. Anyways, when the Rambam describes the minchas chavite, so very famously, he describes, you know, Ketzel Asiyas Chavite Kangadol, maybe Yisaron Shalei Makdisho V'chotz. First you're Makdishin as an Yisaron, then Chotzeo V'chatzi Yisaron Shalei Mikdash. Then you take a special, yeah, this Kli, you know, a Chatzi Yisaron Kli just for the Minchas Chavite, which is amazing. And they split the Soles. Avavishi Krei V'chetzion Eina Miskadeshes L'chetzion, which is part of the dialectic. It is and it isn't. Right? It's a whole korban and it's two halves of a korban. Right? And then, oh, in Halacha Dalet, this is the amazing Rambam. He says, V'achakach cholek, you make all these chalos from the Yisarons. right? You make the 12 kalas. And then he says, V'achar kach cholek, you have 12 kalas. And he says, V'achar kach cholek, kol chala v'chala l'shnayim. You take the 12 and you split each one in half. The omeid, right? It's hard to do that precisely because it's already chala. To make two exact halves, very hard. The Rambam doesn't say it's because it's hard. He just says, you don't need to worry about it, just you can approximate. Kedei sheyakri v'achatzi v'boker, v'achatzi v'erev, v'lokei chachetzion, v'kota kolachot, pitos, well, that's already an interesting point too. So the Rambam jumps in, he says, lo shamati, omer Avram zu lo shamanu, v'ein la shoresh, v'shum makom, sheichkalku, kol chala v'chala, ella, v'sheish chalos v'shachris, v'sheish ben arbaim. You have six in the morning and six in the afternoon, right? They already took the 10 and they made it, you know, the 10, the sarum, they split it into half. So why not make six chalas from each one? Half in the morning, half in the afternoon. You have to make, after you have 12 chalas, then you split each chala, you have 12 half chalas. Very strange. And then he adds, Vatora nasa lehem midos gedolos uktanos sheyamodu bahem kedei shelo yigru velo yosifu al hashiurim. Moreover, where did the Rambam get this idea that you could estimate? V'hu omer shemachalken es hachalos ba'omeid Vatora omer maktsisa baboker maktsisa ba'erev shelo yosif velo yigareya. Right? This, you know, I spoke the other night, last week, about Bal Tosif and Bal Tigra as part of, you know, the, you know, mutability of the law. Rambam knows about Bal Tosif and Bal Tigra. He probably projected it more than any single, you know, Rishon. You hear the Rambam needs to tell him about, you know, Shiurim and Bimosif and Garea. So basically what emerges is that the Rambam has two chidushim. One is that you dafka, you know, after creating two happy sorrows, right? You bake, you know, the right amount of challahs, but instead of offering half the challahs in the morning, half the challahs in the afternoon, right? You split the 12 and you do 12 half challahs in the morning, 12 half challahs in the afternoon. And number two, that you can do this, but only that even though it says maksisa, no one's counting. It should be roughly, you know, 50%. And the question is, like, why? Oh. So, there's a question first, and then
yeah,
I'll...
Does Mishuch B'chala also bring a Minchas
Chinuch? No. Oh, Minchas Chinuch?
Yeah.
When he becomes a Mishuch B'chala,
yeah.
I mean? Not that I don't think so, no. I'm not... I have to check again, but I'm pretty sure not. Okay. So, yeah. So, what's going on with the Rambam? So, I think that, you know, all these things indicate, you know, something very fundamental about the Kohen Gadol, and by extension about, you know, Kahuna, and by extension from that, about the Kahuna Klal. And that is that the yisod of the Kohen Gadol is the idea of Kulal Hashem, the idea that he, you know, serves Klal Yisrael, you know, in a very unique fashion. Like, most people are supposed to have, you know, a personal life, and a public, you know, obligation. But the Kohen Gadol, in some respects, Melech in a different way, but the Kohen Gadol in his way, there's a line that is obliterated between his public and his private persona. I'm not suggesting that all Kohanim Gadolim lived up to this aspiration, but at least this was intended to be the goal. Of course, the role of Aaron HaKohen in this mix is very important. It's interesting that both in, you know, the Pesukim in Achrimos about Yom Kippurim, and here, you know, in the context of the Minchas Chavitin, the two, you know, quintessential Kohen Gadol obligations, it's always Aron Ubanav. And again, it's a Kohen HaMashiach Tachtav, you know, Mibana. And of course, the illusions also, which I'm not going to go into now, but there are several of those as well, that the Minchas Chavitim and Minchas Chinuch also reflect aspects of the process of the Miluim by which Aaron and the rest of the Kohanim, right, you know, were initiated into the Kahuna into the whole institution of Kahuna itself was initiated. You know, this is part of the process as well. So basically, what we're suggesting is that the Kohen Gadol, who has this unique persona, is somebody who on Yom Kippur, the day of Kulal Hashem, has to be presiding over anything and everything. That's part of his everything persona, is that, you know, on Yom Kippur, that day, whose uniqueness lies in expressing not balance, but an extreme loyalty and extreme devotion, but a devotion which should apply all year round, but which is expressed unambiguously on Yom Kippur. That's the day of Aharon HaKohen, and that's the day when he presides over everything. That's the day Achas Bashana. And every day of the year, there's another way for the Kohen Gadol to express this theme of total devotion, and that is to take a single korban, right, and to split that korban from the morning to the evening, as if to say that all day long we're in the middle of bringing this korban. And that's, I think, why, you know, the Rambam, you know, insists that, you know, even after you split the, you know, isaron into two, that when you bake the challahs, that you don't give six challahs in the morning and six in the afternoon, because what better way to symbolize the fact that you're in the middle of the single hakrava? It's one chatzishal korban. To me, then there's a question: how many chatzishal korban are there? How many maisa hakravas there are? When it comes to Midrash Chavitin, it seems clear there's one chatzishal korban, and there may be even one maisa hakrava. It just, you know, machtzisa baboker, machtzisa ba'er. Hence the different language that separates it from Tmidin. Hence, according to the Ramban, there aren't two mitzvos, there's only one mitzvah. This is an expression of the Kohen Gadol's absolute commitment and his Kulal Hashem status. The Rambam, as is well known, has a very interesting shita about the Kohen Gadol. The Rambam in Hilchos Kli HaMikdash, Perakei Halacha Zayin, suggests that the Kohen Gadol, you know, number one, doesn't leave the Mikdash very much. That has earlier koros. But what he says, in addition to that, is that the Kohen Gadol, is that the Kohen Gadol lives dafka in Yerushalayim. And some of the Nosa Kalim point out, you know, that there is no clear, or they scramble to find out, like, what is the makar that the Kohen Gadol has to dafka live in Yerushalayim. Bayis yela muchan b'mikdash hinikras lishkas Kohen Gadol. Ukvodo b'tifarto, even this language, you have to trace it back. Kvodo b'tifarto, which, you know, is obviously l'chavod ulatifares, though we speak about Big Day Kuna. Sheyeh yoshev b'mikdash kolayom. So this idea that the Kohen Gadol lives in Yerushalayim and not in Beit Shemesh and, you know, not in Ephrat, you know, is not so clear. There's no Gemara that says that explicitly. It doesn't seem to be. How does the Rambam know that that's where he lives? And of course, this whole lashon is very interesting. In Perek Aleph, Hilchos Bias Mikdash, and Frankel points you to this as well, right? The Rambam, just again, his language is strong. Kishem she'en konim mazarim alayayim, ela b'shas bia l'mikdash, kach ein yisurim l'gadol pera, ela b'shas bias mikdash. That's the Rambam's view. The writer disagrees. Bamedram amurim, but within the Rambam's view, b'koin hejam, ava koin gadol asur l'gadol pera, b'lekroa b'gadol b'kobam. So you might have said it's a din in the Gabra, Kohen Gadol. It probably is a din in the Gabra, Kohen Gadol. But the explanation that the Rambam gives is Shaharei Tamid Hu B'Mikdash. V'lekach Nemar Bo'etz Rosh HaLayifra V'Gadol LaYifra, because he's Tamid B'Mikdash. But the whole point is that his being Tamid B'Mikdash isn't a technicality. His being Tamid B'Mikdash and his living in Yerushalayim, all this has to do with the persona of the Kohen Gadol himself. And that's why, you know, the Rambam's position seems to be in Perek Ches, Hilchos Kli HaMikdash, and in the very end of Hilchos Kilayim, the Rambam is of the opinion that a Kohen Hedyot is not allowed to wear Bigdei Kohuna Shalo B'Shas Avoda, at least the Shatnez part. And the Ravid is like very scandalized by it. So what about all the Makoros and the Bigdei Kohen Gadol and so on and so forth? So in Nosa Kalim, I'll point out, both in Hilchos Kilayim and in Hilchos Kli HaMikdash, that obviously the Rambam is meant to distinguish between the Kohen Gadol and the Kohen Hedyot in terms of this question. And there's many explanations given. Beis HaLevi has a whole discussion. Rav had a suggestion. If you look at the Radvaz says, well, the reason that the Kohen Gadol can wear the Bigdei Kohuna, even Shalom B'Shas Avoda, even the Shatnez part, is basically, I don't see these words exactly, but he says, because it's min hamikdash layetze, that he's makriv onid, meaning what he's trying to say is, there is no Shalom B'Shas Avodasa. So that doesn't mean that, you know, it looks like he's being obeyed all the time, but I would say during the day he's always in the middle of an avoda. He's in the middle of the machtzisa baboker, machtzisa ba'erev. But the bigger idea is that for the same reason that he's in the middle of the avoda, you know, he can wear the Bigdei Kohuna, maybe it's even a kiyum in the levisha, something that the Rav used to talk about, but even if not, because in his persona, you know, for the same reason that he can't be Porea, you know, Rosho and Korea Bigodo, because he's Tamid B'Mikdash, he's Al Pidin, Tamid B'Mikdash. That's who the Kohen Gadol is. Okay, so having said that, now we can also understand, you know, why this is a Minchav, which is Kalil Taktar, which is Kulo Lashem. But I think even more so, why this became Korban Aron Ubanav, quintessentially, and why this became the precedent for Kol Minchas Kohen, you know, Taktar Yiyah, Kalil rather, Yiyah. As if to say, it's not because this is a Minchas Kohen, you know, therefore it's Kalil, it's the opposite. What the Minchas Chavitin establishes, but how does that affect the Kohen Hedyot? So just to circle back for a moment. So now, like, what are the implications of the fact that the Kohen Gadol's Korban, you know, which is like the, you know, the first Korban and the quintessential Korban, Mincha for a Kohen, you know, how does that work that applies to the Minchas Chinuch? So I've always thought, again, I'm speculating just a little bit, right, that there is like a dual relationship between those two things. Of course, every Kohen Hedyot doesn't have the same Kulo Lashem dimensions as the Kohen Gadol. That's clear. But the point is that the same commitment to Kulo Lashem and to the Avodah of Klal Yisrael and to being, you know, not an intercessor, but both, you know, Shluchei D'Rachmana and Shluchei Didan, that principle, you know, which comes and is expressed, you know, in a very intense way for the Kohen Gadol. There are aspects of that apply to every Kohen Hedyot. And therefore, on the day that he is initiated into the Avodah, he brings the Minchas Chinuch with some differences. He's not bringing it machtzisa. That would be inappropriate. That would, you know, overstep his bounds. That's not the function that he's going to be serving. He doesn't bring it every day. But on that once-in-his-lifetime opportunity, it's the Kohen Hedyot's way of identifying with Keser Kahuna, with the, you know, Kahuna Club, largely writ, and with the principle of a Kohen Shegadol Me'echav. Remember that the Kohen Gadol, unlike the Melech, Som Tasu Malecha Melech Mikerav Achecha, but that, you know, still implies it's Mikerav Achecha, that's where he comes from, but the Melech, you know, has a different status, and there's only one Melech. But the Kohen Gadol me'achav. He's not a Kohen Gadol. Really, really, the psukim say he's a Kohen who's Gadol me'achav. And the point is that while there's a minui and there's a kedusha and there are things that are only the prerogative of the Kohen Gadol, you know, nonetheless, Every Kohen Hedjot on the day of his initiation, you know, looks and identifies and is mitzuref, right, to the principles of the Kohen Gadol itself. So the differences highlight, you know, that still he's not the Kohen Gadol, but the aspiration, the same korban, the fact that most Rishonim, the B'hag, the B'sadjigon, some of them actually count Milchas Chinuch, Milchas Chinuch separately. But the Rambam, the Chinuch, most of the mainstream Moni HaMitzvos think that Milchas Chinuch and Milchas Chavitim are one single mitzvah. On the other hand, the idea that the Kohen Gadol shares with the Kohen Hedyot the same korban also is significant. Again, the Kohen Gadol is under enormous pressure, whether it's on Yom Kippur, where the whole world, you know, is looking at him, and it's almost, you know, korov to a kind of vicarious hakraba, although it isn't exactly shluchei drachmona, shluchei didan, but you know, we're all familiar with the avoda and the, you know, the piyutim of the avoda. All eyes are on the Kohen Gadol in the beginning. Oh, thank you. In the beginning and in the end, but you know, the fact is that it's a day of enormous. For that reason, it's a day of enormous pressure. But the daily grind of Machtzisa Baboker, Machtzisa Ba'eret is also very significant. And, you know, in theory, one can lose a bit of one's edge, you know, through the monotony or the routinization, you know, of the process. So the Kohen Gadol, right, every day in a subtle way is reminded, you know, that the korban that he's about to bring, you know, which, you know, it's not achas bashana by any stretch of the imagination. It's, you know, every single day, baboker u'ba'erev. And nonetheless, this is the same korban that a minchas chinuch, that an initiate korban, initiate kohen, sorry, brings, you know, which is kind of the highlight of his life. So that dialectic, the relationship between the Kohen Hedjot and the Kohen Gadol, is something that is extremely significant. And therefore, it too is Kalil Taktar for the Minchas Chinuch. And therefore, it creates a status of Kol Minchas Kohen, Kalil Tieh Lo Teachel. The status of a Kohen, obviously, the spirit, what I call the spiritual specialization of Kahuna, is a very important paradigm. But, you know, it's also clear that just as the Kohen Gadol belongs to the rest of the Kohanim, Gadol Me'achav, so too, Shevet Kahuna and the Keser Kahuna really belong to Klal Yisrael. Not only because of the Shluchei Didan in addition to the Shluchei Derachmana, but because, you know, while better served through spiritual specialization and having Dafka, the Kohanim, serve in this critical function, right, in the end of the day, you know, the model and the inspiration of Shevet Kahuna is something which is relevant to the entire Klal Yisrael as a mamleches kohanim, you know, and a goy kadosh. Both the malucha and the kahuna is something that is carried out as a specialization and is mitzuref to, in a real way, certainly conceptually, all of Klal Yisrael. Which is why the Rambam, in the end of Hilchos Shmita v'Yovel, talks about, you know, serving Klal Yisrael, not so much about Kohanim, but about Shevet Levi in general. And possibly why, you know, Torah originally invested the Avoda in the Bechor, you know, not just in the Kohen, so that every family, at least potentially, you know, could have their own Kohen, a way of establishing, you know, Tziruf to the Avoda in the Mikdash. And I've always thought, you know, this is speculation a little bit, that the ceremony of Pidyon Aben, which is very strange, that, you know, comes from the Gaonim, where the Kohen, you know, says to the father, my bais tvei, you know, so as, you know, the poskim have pointed out, you know, it's not as if, you know, it's a real choice. Like, if the father says, I'd rather save the money, you know, his child, you know, is not going to the Kohen. So why do we do that? What's the point of the exchange? But I think it's a way of highlighting the fact that, you know, the Bechor was the paradigm of Avodah Mikdash. And on some level, the ceremony of Pidyon HaBechor, Pidyon HaBen, continues to remind us that Shevet Kahuna and that the Avoda belongs to Al Klal Yisrael, even with the spiritual specialization, you know, that it includes. So just one final note, and that is, of course, you know, Shevet Kahuna, that's why we're calling it the Gedashto Club, you know, extends beyond, you know, the Avoda. And, you know, the Horah role of Kohanim is something that, you know, Tanakh speaks about. Torah speaks about. Tanakh speaks about even more. Sipsei Kohen, Yishmeru Das, the high standards that we associate with Mechanchim, connected to Kahuna. But other areas of Kedusha as well. And particularly in the matter of Ishus, the fact that the Kohen Gadol has his own special Dine Ishus, Amana, right, Be'ula, all these are excluded. According to the Rambam, right, he can only have one wife, even all year round, not only in Yom Kippur. The Raivan thinks he could have more than one wife during the year, but the Pashtos, he's supposed to be married, and he's supposed to be married to only one individual. And of course, the Kohanim themselves have higher standards, you know, of Ishus, in terms of Grusha and Chalala and Zomna and all of these. And that's not just, you know, a technicality. It's a way of kind of structuring, at least, you know, formally, a certain kind of idealism, you know, through the standards of Ishus, you know, into this group. So while, you know, the Shevet Kahuna is unique and singular and, you know, reflects a certain responsibility, it's important to understand that that responsibility and the values of Kulal Hashem and higher standards is something that is relevant to all of Chal Yisrael. So, you know, we just want to wish Hatzlacha to the club. I think it's a great idea. You know, it's very nice of you to every once in a while include, you know, one of us outsiders, you know, as well, so we can bask, you know, in your presence. But all kidding aside, we should continue to be matzliach, and that the values of Shevet Kahuna, of the Kohen Gadol, you know, who is Gadol Meyachav, but all of Kohanim, and especially the broad principle of Mamlechas Kohanim, the Goy Kadosh, that applies to all of us, something that should continue to inspire us. Thank you. Spoke too long.
So you prepare by a little bit, so it doesn't just apply to personal life.